Fellowship together, fellowship with you as well. Thank you because you open our eyes to see the wondrous things in your world. Thank you because you speak to us. You help us to understand, to hear clearly that which you will have us hear, that which you have proposed for the day. And thank you because those words will go deep within us. They will grow as seeds do, and they will bring forth fruits in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Good. Open your Bibles, if you will, to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. If you are online, do the same, except if you are driving. But if you are online, do the same thing. Open to Mark chapter 4. Sit with your Bible tonight for the next 30, 45 minutes. And let's look in God's Word. Amen. I want to talk tonight about effortless change. Is that okay? Can I hear you say effortless change? How many people have things they want to change? You know, good. Anybody else? Those two people? Good. I think almost everybody now. So I'm looking at effortless change in terms of you as a person changing. You know, so how do you change as a person to become better? Can I have an amen? I don't think anybody wants to become worse a person. Am I right? So you want to be a better person. You want to be somebody who's able to ride over sin easy. You want to be somebody who's more disciplined. You want to be somebody who speaks right and all of that. That's what we're talking about. But also, you want to be somebody who sees the kind of changes you want in your environment. That is, you are believing God for something or the other, believing God for more opportunities. You are believing God for progression. You are believing God for all kinds of things that we believe God for in life. So that's what I mean by effortless change. How do I get those things or me or my circumstances to change without effort? Is that really possible? Because they will tell us what? They say things don't change except you make them change. I mean, to talk therefore about effortless change is like, what in the world are we talking about? But we'll see it in God's word tonight. We'll look at a number of scriptures. We'll try to see the connection between those scriptures, what it means for us as people when we walk with God. The interesting thing, and what I hope you will see at the end of the day, is that what is expected of us is very easy. But the reason why we don't see the changes we want to see is because we don't do those things. Okay, we don't do those things or do that thing, however you want to put it, simply because we think it's too easy, if I may put it that way. If I were to tell you to do very difficult things for some of the changes that you have in mind when you raised your hand, if I said to you, if only you can run, you know, from here to Bagada, that change will happen. Those of us who have not run in 5 years, we will run. If you know what I mean. If I said to you that all you need to do is fast for 3 days, biribiri, you know biribiri. Biribiri means no breaking. Now, those who have not fast past 12 midday before, many of them will fast because they have been promised that if only you can do this one, everything will change, you know. So we will do things that we thought we couldn't do. But there are easier things, or in fact, what God expects of us is easier. Jesus was speaking about that in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. He said, come to me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So one of the things you'll learn as you walk with God, not follow what people say, but as you develop a walk with God, one of the things you'll begin to find out is that God gives us easy things to do. Okay? What he actually expects of us are easy. Now, take it from me. I think I haven't done that here before, but one day in the UK, I was ministering somewhere. Well, actually, that particular session, I was in ministry. But the pastor said, look, why don't you talk to us about this thing? And I began to tell them my experiences. With spirituals, in quotes. You know, I began to tell them my experiences because I was born, I grew up quite sickly, you know, and the kinds of things I'd been through. And I've been to the riverside. I think I mentioned that before. They've taken me to the riverside to have a bath before. And then you bath and you turn your back and you throw the okay, way into the river. I've had gbere before. You know gbere? You don't know gbere? That's scarification marks, you know. So when you come and take the plate and then they make the marks, I've had the mark made, you know, and all of that. I've eaten blade before. you can't believe it, eh? So I've seen all kinds of things before. But the Bible talks about certain things that have a religious outlook, but they have no real impact. You know, they can't really give you what you are desiring. And that's where the category, where those things belong. Okay, many of them, if you are lucky, maybe like me, and you get away without being open to some demonic activity, at the very least, they make you feel like you have done something very spiritual. You know, but you then find out that you are still back to square one. So one of those days, I was teaching in a Bible school. And one of the pastors there at the end, I was teaching on faith, was asking a question. And he said, you know, and he gave a story about a lady who was looking for the fruit of the womb. And now he asked the woman to fast for so many number of days, asked her to go and buy this cloth, white cloth of how many yards, and then asked her after the fasting she should cut it into how many pieces and distribute them to people, and then they will pray. And that when he then prayed for her after that, she conceived. But that's not where the what do you call it, the clincher is. He then said that he knew that all of those things were nothing. He knew that all those things meant nothing, but that he knew that the woman had been to several people for prayer and nothing worked. And he knew that except he did some razzmatazz, she would not believe. So he said, what do I think of that? And I said, Oga, you are part of the problem we have. You know, I said, because instead of you to teach her and tell her what the truth is, that look, you don't, because it's simple, what they are telling you, you need to do faith in God and all that is simple. It's too simple for you. That's why you are having problems believing God for the fruit of the womb. Instead of that, you now conjure something. You know, there's a working of miracles. There's a gift called the working of miracles. And with the working of miracles, sometimes God will give instructions that may not make much sense. You understand? Like telling, what's it called? Like Jacob, when he says to the animals, or when God inspired him, that when the animals are mating, put these sticks in front of them and all that. That's a working of miracles. Like when the axe head fell, and Elisha said, give me a stick, and he dropped it there. Dropping a stick into a river where an axe head fell can never make the axe head float. But why did God require that drop the stick there? Working of miracles. So if it was the working of miracles, but by his own confession, he said, I knew that it was just razzmatazz. I was just using it basically, for lack of a better word, to deceive her. So I said, look, you are causing more problems, and it's your kind that is causing problems. Because next time, that woman will never believe anything except somebody does some razzmatazz. She still will never believe. And now she believes so much in the razzmatazz that she's probably going to end up in the wrong hands. Are you with me? So what God asks of us oftentimes is very easy. That's where I'm going. Okay, so the effortless change. How do you become a different person? I come from a background where I could be very angry. You know, I could be very angry. But over time, I saw that I changed. And I'm very calm most of the time. I can still get angry, but I'm very calm most of the time. You know. And there was once, for instance, I got angry, and I have this friend, we've been in many countries together, and he came to Lagos, and cutting long story short, we had an issue with the hotel, and they wouldn't let him go. And I was telling them, look, don't worry about his payment. He was trying to use his card, his foreign card, and all that. I said, don't worry about it. We, my office used this place before. This is my card. You know me. I said, we will sort it out. If his payment doesn't come through, we'll pay. But let him go. He needs to catch a flight, and he didn't. And eventually, they locked the gate as we were trying to drive out, you know, and I got very furious. And I went back in, I blasted them, you know, I'd asked for the manager, they said he wasn't on duty, but when I blasted and all that, the manager showed up. But by the time they were now showing up and doing what they needed to do, it was too late. He missed that flight eventually. But when I got back to the car, my friend was like, oh my God, why didn't I get down? Because he stayed in the car. And I went back in, you know, when they had locked the gate, and he was like, oh my God, why did I not get down? He said, I just missed a golden opportunity to see you angry. He said, because I've not seen it. I've been in places, and you just keep smiling and all that and keep looking straight. He said, but this one that you were very angry, I should have followed you inside. Just for the show, I needed to see it. But how do you change? That's my point. Are you following me tonight? Mark 4:26. He said, and he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow, he himself does not know how. For the earth yields crop by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately it puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. Now please note this, in the whole context of Mark chapter 4, what you'll find out is this, okay? Very short summary. What you find out is this. The seed, as Jesus explained, the whole of Mark chapter 4, he told parables like this. The parable of the sower was the main one he told in most of Mark chapter 4. You find it in Luke chapter 8. You find it in Matthew chapter 13. Okay? And when he explained it, he said the seed is the word of God. When you read it in context, you find out that the earth is the heart of man. Okay? The seed is the word of God. The heart, the earth that you plant the seed in, is the heart of man. And basically, therefore, when this is telling us that when the word of God is as if a man should scatter seed in the ground and should go to bed and wake up in the morning and it should sprout and bring forth fruits, bring forth results, bring forth all of the things you want, he said the man does it himself know how. Because the heart brings forth fruit of itself. Basically, coming out of the seed that is scattered on the ground. So hear this very clearly. It means that the job of the man, which is you and I, our job is to scatter seed in the earth. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Our job is to scatter seed in the earth. Our job is to scatter seed in the earth. Our job, and if you wish, to scatter seed in the earth, that is, our job is to put an abundance of seed in the earth. Are you getting what I'm saying? Our job is putting in an abundance of the seed. What is the seed again? That is what? The word of God. Our job is putting in the abundance of seed in our heart. How the heart produces it, we don't know. How it produces faith, we don't know. How it produces calmness, how it produces love, how it produces joy, how it produces long-suffering, how it produces all of those things, we don't really know. But our job is scatter seed in that ground, scatter seed in that ground, scatter seed in that ground. Are you getting what I'm saying? The more of God's word I take in, the more it will change me. The more it's going to change me. It's effortless change. The only effort there is that effort of taking in God's word. That's the only effort I have to make. And it's too easy, therefore we don't do it. Are you with me? So when he says he scatters seed, it means that he's using or is taking in as much as possible, or putting in as much as possible, and thank God for the day and age we live in. Because there are multiple modes of getting in God's word. You are tired, I'm too tired, I can't read, listen to it. You know, years ago, somebody brought, I don't know how big that would be, well, the device was a little bigger than this one, and they said it was an audio Bible. It was a wonder that there was an audio Bible. Do you understand what I'm saying? And the gift, I think it was my mom that was giving that gift. Oh, she refused to give it to us. The audio Bible. You could listen to the audio Bible. It was incredible. It was amazing, amazing, amazing discovery. But today, everybody can listen to the Bible on their phones. Are you seeing what I'm saying? But the opportunity, the privilege, in quotes, that only a few chosen people had before is available to all. And it looks now like the easier it has become to get God's word, the fewer the people that are putting in God's word, that are scattering that seed in the earth. Are you following what I'm saying? I told you before the way we used to operate. I'll go to Scripture Union Bookshop in Ibadan, looking for Bibles. Okay, I had my Bible. I'll go looking for Bibles. Number one, at the start of every year, I buy a new Bible. I buy a new Bible so that when I'm reading, I've already read the other one, I've colored, I've underlined, I've written in biro and all of that. There's nothing sacred about the Bible that you can't write in it. So I've written, I've done all kinds of things. So when I start the new year, I start with a new one. And the intention is that I want to read it with fresh eyes. I don't want to read it already prejudging which verses I think are great or important because I've already highlighted them. You understand what I'm saying? So then I will start afresh. And then they now had what they called a parallel Bible. Parallel Bible. And the best parallel Bible will have four versions of the Bible in four columns. It was amazing. It was amazing to have four versions of the Bible in one go. Huh? Now, when I'm studying, I have like 8 versions in one go. And actually, I have more available. I've only selected about 8 that I want to check a particular verse or the other on. But I probably have, I don't know, I've never counted it, but maybe about 50 or 100 versions in my smallest phone. But that's how we were gathering that word. That's how we were scattering that seed. We were scattering that seed. I told you the story before. I went to Reverend Emeka Amosuka's office in Ibadan because he was the one who had the copyright for Kenneth Copeland and Kenneth Hagin tapes. So I go to his office, and when I start saying, I'm hungry, it means I'm looking for God's word. So I went to his office, and I said, I want to book some tapes, and then they will copy the tapes. I mean, even Mrs. Saj will remember when we had a copier. Even in this ministry, we had a copier up there, and then they'll copy the tapes, and to copy each tape, of course, takes almost as long as the message itself, because the copier, you understand the engineering of it, but it's almost like you are playing it into another tape. So they just play. It takes that much time to copy one tape, and then the extraordinary copiers, you could put three tapes to copy one tape. So you can dub three at the same time. That's fantastic. So I went there and I book, and they'll give me their catalog, and I'll pick, I want this one, I want this one, I want this one, and then I paid. And one day I went and I paid, and they said, come back in 2 weeks. So I went back, and it wasn't ready. And I was getting desperate. So they said, come back, our machine got spoiled, come back. So I went back again the following week, it wasn't done. They said, our machine is spoiled. I said, enough is enough. I said, look, I'll go and bring my tape player. No, I first said, can you give me the tapes? I'll go and dub them myself, and I'll return the tapes to you. I'm paying you the same amount. I'm not collecting money back. I will do the job myself, but all I want is the message. And they said, no. They can't allow the tapes to get out of their ministry because that's how many master tapes do they have. So they said, no, they can't just give it to people like that. So I said, okay, I will go and bring my tape player, and I will sit down here, and I will dub them, and I will still pay full price. And they said, no, they refuse. They can't put it because if your tape player chops the tape, you know what we call chopping the tape. Do you know what chopping the tape? No. Right. Ask Pastor NY. And then you have to pull it out very technically with great dexterity and skill. You'll have to remove it from the tip of the teeth of the tape player, and then you begin to roll it back in very gently with your biro or pencil. Okay. But that's where we were. But then we were scattering the seed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let somebody say scatter the seed. We're scattering the seed. And the more we scattered the seed, the more we changed. The more our faith increased. The more we found out that we were not as anxious about situations as we used to be. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, it's not just a one-time process. It's something you will have to do for life. I still scatter the seed today. And I see change. I get anxious about something. I get anxious about my children. I start scattering the seed. I start scattering the seed that are related to that. I start scattering that seed in. And he says, all the thing you need to do is to scatter the seed. That's your job. Oh, God, I wish I could just be calm. I wish I could just trust you over this matter. Scatter the seed. That's what you can do. And you'll find that calmness will begin to replace anxiety. How? He says you go to bed, you wake up in the morning, and the seed begins to grow. It begins to sprout and grow. You don't know how. That's not your business. That change that is coming, how the change sprouts, how it begins, when it begins, and how it's growing and more and more and more, is nothing you know. It's nothing to do with your effort. All the effort you need to put in is the effort of what? Scattering the seed. Are you there? Sin has a grip. Scatter the seed. You find out that you will grow out of many things. Are you still there? Okay, let's look at some other scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Are you there? 2 Corinthians 3. So my concern is how, you know what's actually happening a lot more also with us? Is that people are trying to use willpower. Willpower to change. Okay? Want to use our willpower to overcome sin. We want to use our willpower in the place of faith as well. We want to use Agbari for God. That maybe they say, if I say it like this, if I say it 10 times, if I confess it, I'll then tell God that I've confessed it now. Okay, I will confess it 30 times. 30 times. And what I usually say to people is that if the spiritual world was real, and if you read the whole Bible, we are not going into the full study of how that operates. If you look at the book of Daniel, It tells you a little bit about how some of the things operate in the spiritual. Daniel prayed. And he says, the angel came after 21 days. He said, I set myself to fast about the matter for 21 days. 21 days, the angel shows up and he says, Daniel, from the first day that you prayed, your prayer was heard and I was sent. He said, but I was delayed on the way by the prince of Persia. I was talking about a demon spirit. Okay, I was delayed on the way. He said, until an angel came to help me to fight that battle. But Daniel was still fasting and praying for, what, 21 days. So that's telling us that there can be resistance, okay, to the answer to our prayer. And in that case, if I say to God, God, you have to do this, so I'm going to confess 30 times. By the time I confess, he said we should believe and confess. If I confess it 30 times, you have to do it. He said, I can have what I say, you know. And all the devil has to do, he's putting all of his might to resist you to the 30th time. You understand what I'm saying? It means he says to himself, great, so we only have 30 confessions to stand against. You know, if we can hold on for him or for her to confess 30 times, she will give up. Then you can bet that even if the devil has to draft other demons from other assignments and say, this one we know. You know, it's almost like when you're going through something and they say to you that, oh, maybe you're working somewhere, your boss is wicked and all of that. And then they say that your guy is going to retire next month. And then you get very angry over something. People say, calm down. Suru to Lord Johnny. You know what they mean? They say, calm down. That patience has a deadline. You understand? Your patience. The man is going. So don't kill yourself now. Just calm down. Manage. That's how the devil operates with many people, is that manage. He will give up after 3 days. He will give up after 30 confessions. Just manage and hold him down. Are you with me? You are quiet tonight. Are you here? Sounding like you? Okay. But 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. It says, now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. There is freedom. There is release. There is escape. He said, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of God. What I want you to see is the, let's look at that in the Amplified. In the Amplified, it says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, that is emancipation from bondage, and there's freedom. And all of us, as with unveiled face, because we continue to behold, because we do what? We continue. Can I hear you say we continue? He said, because we continue to behold in the word of God as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord are constantly being transfigured into his very own image, in ever-increasing splendor and from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, from the Lord who is the Spirit. So what I want you to see is that he says, as we continue to behold in the word of God, as if in a mirror, the glory of God, we are constantly being transfigured. We are what? Constantly being transfigured. Let me say this to you. If you thought that you're sitting here tonight is nothing, you are wrong. Okay? If you thought that you're listening to God's word tonight, making your way here after a hard day, or you are online, or you took the time later on to say, let me just even listen, I missed the service. And you sat there and you think, I'm so tired. I just came, Sha. No, you didn't just come, Sha. You are being transfigured. Can I hear you say transfigured? So every time you make the effort to expose yourself to God's word, effortless change is occurring. Something is taking place on your inside. Something is happening to you that you might not even know is happening to you now. You might find out that sometime down the line, something happens and your reaction will shock you. Are you with me? I remember just as I said that, some years ago, I don't remember how many years, somebody called me in this church, called me. And he said, said, man, I just got down from a bus now. And they had some misunderstanding on the bus with the conductor and all of that. He said, man, you know, I just looked at the guy and I just walked away calmly. I just said, well, leave it alone. And I walked away calmly. Ha! He said, well, I was angry, but I couldn't react the way I used to. He said, the normal me, I would have slapped him and I would deal with him. He said, but the guy was provoking me. He said, but I just looked at him. I just smiled. I shook my head and I walked away. Ah! He said, maybe I did good. I said, I did very good. He said, but I'm changing you. I said, very much. You know, but he was calling because he was thinking, hey, is this me? He said, they owed me. I would have given the guy. Even he will know that he made a mistake today. He said, but I smiled and I just looked at him. I shook my head. I walked away. He said, but he annoyed me, provoked me, but I couldn't fight him the way I would have fought him. Why? Because he sat there. He has been exposed to God's word. Again, even many years, before then, there was a gentleman who was in church. I think I've told the story before. Struggling. Addictions. And I didn't know. Except that somebody saw him one day smoking and whatnot. And the person came to meet me because he was active in church. So the person came to see me. Do you know? Yeah, this person, that he does this, he does that, you know. And I think he still went to club. But if you are in church and you are teaching, this guy was like a sponge. You understand what I mean? As you are teaching, this guy is absorbing. It's like he's pulling. There are some people that when you are ministering, it's as if the words are bouncing back at you. This guy is as if, don't finish, please. I want to hear more. I want to hear more. So I, as he was saying that, I was reflecting. And I was thinking about the guy, and I was thinking about the look. You know, I think it's Acts chapter 14 that they said Paul was teaching. And he saw that the crippled guy had faith to be healed. So there was something about the way the crippled guy was. There was something about the crippled guy's excitement and what was showing on his face. And if you ask preachers, they will tell you they can tell. And I was thinking about the guy and what this person, the report this person was giving me. So I said, you know what? I said, thank you very much for telling me. I said, but leave the matter alone. I said, and don't say a word to him. I said, if I'm led to, I will say something to him. If I'm not, I'm not going to say anything to him. I said, but that guy and how he comes, how diligent he is, how he's seated, how he listens with rapt attention. I said, if he continues the way he is, I said, that guy will change. And I wasn't led to say anything to him, so I didn't say anything to him. I didn't tell him I heard anything. Until one day, you know, just like we would, testimonies, and the guy came out and was giving testimony. So as he was telling him, I was smiling, you know. And he was telling that, you know, I've been coming, but you know, I was doing this, you know, I was doing that. I was just smiling like, He said, and I still go out with my friends. We go to this club, we go to that place. He said, but that was this night. He said, as we're going, they had picked me up on a Friday night and we're going. And it was, around midnight to 1 a.m. He said, and they were driving down the road. He said, I was getting uncomfortable. He said, something was rising within me. I was getting uncomfortable. I was getting uncomfortable as we're approaching that place. He said, but as we kept driving, we passed a church and there was a vigil on. He said, and I just told them, I couldn't take it anymore. And I told them, I said, stop the car and drop me here. He said, they looked, they were shocked. And I said, no, I'm not going with you anymore. Just stop the car and drop me here and let me go. He said, and they dropped him. He said, and I went into the church and did the video with them in there. He said, that's the last time I went out like that anymore. He said, I've stopped. He said, and all those things, I stopped. So he came and said it himself. And I was just smiling because I knew that effortless change will occur. Are you still there? As it always wills. Because if you scatter the seed in the ground, the earth will bring forth fruit of itself. Hallelujah. I mean, many years later, he moved out of town. He came, he was settled down, married, blah, blah. And he was telling his story. From then on, how God moved in. He said, look, I got to this other town. I was going to church here. I was doing this. He said, and the people couldn't be. They said, where did you come from? What kind of believer are you? Which church did you used to attend? But it's not about the church. It's about the word. And I could tell you that, just like I just did, that I could tell. So when they said he has this issue, I said, leave him alone. Leave him alone. If he keeps giving God attention like he's doing, if he keeps giving God's word attention like he's doing, then change is certain. Can I have an amen? Hallelujah. More scriptures? I said more scriptures. Okay, so let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2. So when they asked Peter was writing, basically, his own letter. Paul wrote most of the letters we read, but Peter was writing here. And the first or second Peter now. Okay, I hope it's not the version. Yeah. So 1 Peter 2. So Peter was writing here, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. You know, because again, like I like to tell people that if I were to write to people, it's almost like you want to address people who just got saved. And that's what Peter was doing here. Okay? Addressing people who are starting their walk with God. And you want to advise them as to what to do. We tell them many things. Oh, go to Bible-believing church, do this, pray every day, blah, 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 you know. But this is what Peter had to write. He said in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, he said, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. Verse 2 is my emphasis. He said what? As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Have you ever seen a child that you haven't seen in 6 months? Ever run into a child you haven't seen in 6 months? You know, I'm talking of you haven't seen a five-year-old or a three-year-old, and then you come 6 months later and you see that child, you know, or you come 2 years later. In fact, recently, Reverend Colladi was sending me a message, and he was congratulating and said, oh, Falko got into university, congratulations, blah, blah, blah. Then he sent me a message. He said, you know, in my mind, I remember a child. He said, so this is really a process for me, you know. It's a process for me to process it that is true. I've not seen these people in a while, you know. So when you say university, he said, I'm trying to process it that boy is in university. He said, and then I think my wife must have sent him a picture or something. He said, it's just, you know, the reality of it. It takes processing. That's what he's writing here. But if you will take on God's word, the sincere milk of the word, take on God's word. If you go to Hebrews chapter 5, he didn't just talk about the milk of the word, he also talks about the meat of the word. Okay? In Hebrews chapter 5, towards the end, Paul was writing basically and saying, look here, you're supposed to be eating meat now, you see, you are still taking the milk of God's word. So basically here he was talking about taking on God's word, more or less. That's all he's trying to talk about. And he was saying, as newborn babes in Christ, desire the sincere milk of God's word, or desire God's word. Now that word desire there that you see in that place is not just, I wish I had some water to drink. No, that's not what it is. It's like should I use fasting? Yeah, maybe that's still the best one. If you are fasting, or if you have gone all day, you're in church now, and you have not eaten all day, you are not fasting. Maybe not even all day. And then for whatever reason, you are going home, and you got home, there's no food in the house, but there was traffic, and you got home at midnight. And then when you got home at midnight, the food you thought you had is what? That you were thinking, when I get home, that's what I will eat. Then you open the bowl, and it was spoiled. You know the desire that you have for food. Eh? If you manage to survive till morning, eh? And let's say in the morning, there's a bakery next door, eh? And you are smelling the bread. Ah, even Mona is smiling like, man. That description is getting real, you know. And you are smelling that bread. Eh? You know the way you feel. You'll be the first on the queue in the bakery. Abi, that's it. Do you call that desire? Eh? Or you call it strong desire? That's basically the root word of that. Is that have a strong desire for God's word that you may grow thereby. That is have an insatiable hunger for God's word. So that you take it in. Actually, the description is like a child. When a child wakes you from sleep. Because the child is hungry. You know what that feels like. You know, and the child is wailing. And you are still struggling to open your eyes. But the child wails louder. That you better get up. And in fact, sometimes the child is so hungry that he's screaming so much that even when you try to breastfeed the child, he can't even suck. He's crying too loud and he's crying too much with too much effort. That's what he's describing. That kind of strong desire. Now, why? He says because that word will make you to grow. It will make you to grow. And why I talked about the child you have not seen is that, in fact, for maybe the other way to turn that around, is that when you are the parent, you don't see what other people see. So when somebody comes and says, this guy is tall, you are thinking to yourself sometimes that, what are you talking about? But the person who has not seen the child before has seen the growth. You were taking the growth for granted, but it was happening because the child was feeding. Are you there? So it says, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So whether you see it or not, whether you feel it or not, as you take in that word with strong desire, it causes growth to occur. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Okay, you're looking tired. Let's take one or two more scriptures. You know, Colossians chapter 3 talks about that, and it says what? You should let the word of God fill you. You know, let the word of God fill you. Let it fill you. So we're talking about if you will have effortless change in your life, what you need to just say to yourself is, I'm going to develop a voracious appetite for God's word. And I'm just going to take it in and take it in and take it in. I don't care if I feel like I don't even remember what I heard. I don't even remember what I read. But I'm just going to just keep drowning myself in God's word. Okay? Now go to Matthew chapter 12. I want to show you one more thing. Matthew chapter 12. Because we know that our words are powerful. We know that confession brings possession, in quote. It's not just blabbing. 2 Corinthians 4:13 makes it clear to us that this is the way faith works. You believe and therefore you speak. Okay? Matthew 12, Jesus was teaching and said it in a slightly different way. And I'm going back to that issue about people thinking that I just need to confess. Fake it till you make it, just confess it, blab it till you have it, you know, and all of that. And I'm saying to you that our effort has been misdirected. I hope you are getting my message tonight. Our effort is simply the effort to take in God's word. Every change you desire will come. Everything you desire will come. Money will come. Healing will come. Direction will come. Jesus said, when the Spirit comes, he will take of what is mine and show it to you. What is mine? The word. He will take the word and show it to you. So the direction and all that becomes even more difficult when there is no word. Amen? But I want to show you about confession also. Because people then try to confess, and I like it. I like people having the desire to change. But tonight I'm just showing you that it's easier than you thought. Okay? So it's not about you just confessing something. I tell people, make the greater effort in putting in God's word, and you'll find out that your confessions will start changing automatically, even the more of God's word you have inside of you. Remember that scripture, I think that's Proverbs 12, if I'm right, verse 7. It says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So it's what is inside that comes out. Okay? And this is how Jesus puts it in Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. He said, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, what? The mouth speaks. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil things. But I say to you, for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. I've told you before, the word idle there means unemployed. That is every word that you don't employ. You don't employ it to do something. Every word that is not purposeful. Every word that you just say. So when people say, what's all this your sweetness? I can't even just joke. So the joke is it's unemployed. I'm just saying anything. He said every idle word will matter. When you just joke that, my head is just will just scatter. My head will just scatter. He said, why do you say all this? He said, it's just a joke now. Keep saying it. It's an unemployed word. Abby, you're quiet again. But what is Jesus saying here? He's saying don't put the emphasis on the fruit. Put the emphasis on what is in the tree. Don't put the emphasis on what you say. Put the emphasis on what you put in, and what you say will start changing automatically. Can I have an amen? Your confessions will follow what is inside of you. I think it was Brother Again, I was saying that he was preaching somewhere and he was quoting scriptures. And the pastor said to him, you know, if only I could quote half the scriptures you quote. And Brother Again said, well, actually you can. He said, because I can't quote all the jokes that you are quoting. He said, and this guy, if you stay with him, in 5 minutes he can tell you 20 jokes. He said, it's because that's what you put in. And so that's what is coming out. He said, so if you put in that much time, that's why you can do that, and I can't do it. He said, but what you said I can do is because that's what I'm taking in. Hallelujah. Okay, let's end it in John chapter 8. John 8. John 8, 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, the word abide means to dwell in, to live there, just stay there. He said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Why did I go there? Because whatever you are looking to God for freedom for, just keep taking in God's word. On that matter. Okay? Just keep taking in God's word. Just keep taking in God's word. And that freedom is unavoidable. Keep taking it in, and the freedom is unavoidable. You will have that freedom in that area of life. And if you keep taking in all of God's word, you just abide in God's word. Just abide in God's word. Just abide in God's word. Everything that God has and freedom in every area of life will be yours sooner or later. And all you need to do is take in God's word. Can I have an amen? Let's stand on our feet tonight. It's almost like, you know, you don't, God told me years ago, he said you get drunk on purpose. It doesn't happen by accident. Abi? It just means that you took one more cup than you should have of alcohol, and one more cup than you should have, and one more cup than you should have. You got drunk on purpose. But you can't be drinking it and say, I won't be drunk. You know, so that's the same way. You'll get what God has in store if you just keep taking in God's word. It might not happen immediately. In fact, one of those times I sat with some friends in France, and we sat down, we were talking, and they were drinking, and we've been in many places together, and they would drink, and they asked me, what do you want? I said, I want orange juice, I want apple juice. And some who had never met me before, whenever I do that, they laugh. This zombie guy is going to drink apple juice. I say, give me apple juice. Sometimes I ask for ice cream. That's even worse. When I ask for ice cream, they say, hey, ice cream. At your age, ice cream is what you will drink with us. I say, yeah, that's what I want to take. So I take it. And then, so one of so this day we sat down, and one of them was asking me and said, look, why? I mean, I'm curious. I said, I want to know. You sit with us, but you don't drink. Then when you sit with us and we're drinking, what do you see? I laughed. I said, it's a study in science. I said, because with every cup you take, I see change. I see you transforming. And even at many of the times you are still telling me you are not drunk, you have already seen that your character is changing. Because you are saying certain things that you shouldn't be saying. You understand? Something is changing about you. I said, and it's interesting to watch that change with each cup that you drink. Until some who will know that, I need to stop now. Some won't know, and we drink it, and I've seen people drink, and I'm like, wow. But if you take God's word the same way, and just feed on it, just feed on it, just feed on it, just feed on it. If you're believing God for something, just keep taking God's word on that matter. Go back to the scripture you are standing on. Every time a thought comes to your mind, go back to that scripture and read it again. Read it out loud. Make confessions based on scripture. Thank God, because the scriptures declare so. Every time you're walking around and the devil brings it to your mind, you know that thing, it still has not come. Go back to the scripture you're standing on. If you have to do that 20 times a day, do it 20 times a day. If you have to stop in the middle of a conversation and tell people, excuse me, I just need to have a private moment, and you enter the toilet and open your phone and check that scripture again and say, Lord, I thank you for this scripture. Do it. But change is coming. Hallelujah. Take a moment and just talk to God tonight. And the key thing is to make decisions about how you are going to take in more of God's word. What are you going to start doing differently? If you got anything, that's what you should get tonight. Is to know that, look, whatever I want to do, whatever I want to be, God's word will bring it about. God's word will make it happen for me. But how do I start scattering the seed? How do I start scattering the seed? Start scattering the seed and trust God that the earth, my heart, and God's word will produce fruits automatically. That's what that word means. When it says it sprouts and produces fruit by itself, the original word in Greek is automaticus, which means automatically. It just happens automatically. It just happens automatically. But he himself does not know how. It happens automatically. How God's word enters my heart, produces faith and produces result, produces a character change, produces a better love work and all. I don't know. It just does it automatically. So I need to give God's word the opportunity by scattering it in my heart more and more, and trust that it will produce automatically. Jesus' name. Amen.